The Hannity kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public, if you will.
Kick this lovely, fantastic radio show for you guys. What's going on, everybody? My name is Chef Plum, and you're checking out the number one live audio digital food program on Monday night at 10 p.m. That's right, Plum Love Foods Live, and I am your host, Chef Plum. That's right. I am a father. I am a beverage drinker, food maker, style taker, and I've got another rhyme. I thought I'd have a good rhyme, but I didn't have a good rhyme. What's going on, everybody? Thanks for joining us for the show tonight. It's going to be awesome. We got a great show coming up tonight. I feel like when everybody says we're going to have a great show, are there anybody who ever says, you know what, tonight's show, it's going to be a little mediocre. It's not going to be that good tonight. So don't have your fingers crossed and hope for the best. Well, that's not the truth here. Tonight we are talking to the one and only Chef Timo, a.k.a. Tim Peterson. He is the culinary assistant for celebrity chef, chop judge, Chris Santos. Let me tell you a little something about Tim. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. We got to judge a wing competition this past weekend with Time Out Magazine and the New York Best Wings Festival. Spent some time together, talked a lot of food, had a great time. He's a great dude, man, and I'm looking forward to chatting with him because that man has done some shit. He has hung out with Kerry King from Slayer, making Thanksgiving dinner for him. He has his own barbecue sauce out and hot sauce and stuff with the Rattler Barbecue. We're going to talk a lot about that, and you know, we have a lot in common, especially when it comes down to looking at music and interests. So I'm looking forward to talking to my man, Timo. It's going to be a lot of fun. What's going on with you guys? Hope everything's well. Hope this radio program finds you in a good spot. Me, I'm in a great spot. I'm finally comfortable with having a beverage here and there occasionally. I think it's okay now. I'm not overdoing it, but occasionally. So, you know, I went to a local baseball game with my daughters, and they had beer, So I had a beer. I did. It was delicious. Voracious Brewing Company. Love those guys. It was great. They're doing great stuff here locally where I live. Had a lot of fun doing that. But more importantly, this week, man, God, this week starts hell week, hell summer for Plum. I am working a ton, man. It's so crazy how much work is going on. But it's okay. Like I'm happy. I'm proud of it. I'm thankful for it. Without having work, I wouldn't have the opportunity to do fun things like this very program that we're checking out right now. I'm also seeing some of my spelling errors here. This is terrible. I got to fix that because I'm terrible at spelling. I cook food and make dick jokes. What do you want from me? So we're going to do we are doing the first shoot for the talk show that I am a host of called The Lounge. That is happening out in Long Island this Thursday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, I think I've got a bunch of segments. I'm going to get on there and just be funny. And I look forward to having a great shoot, man. Some great people involved with that. I look forward to having some time with those guys, Christine Girani, Kellyanne Purdy, both regulars on the show. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. And it's going to be a lot about food and cocktails. And I think we're going to do a bunch of Bloody Mary stuff with these guys. Really, really looking forward to it. It should be fun. And honestly, I mean, what's more fun than just, you know, doing that sort of work and hanging out with cool people and talking nonsense and And that's really all I do is talk nonsense. So it works out great, right? Because I just run my mouth. And we all know that when someone likes to run their mouth, well, it's probably this guy, you know, me. So anyway, hope you guys are doing well. Like I said, it's getting crazy. And then I'm going to leave for a party out in the Hamptons. And then it just becomes me going out to the Hamptons all summer for parties. It's just nuts. It's insane. It's great because it's good money and it's fun. But goddamn, it's a bit of a hike. That's all it is to it. Let me tell you something else, you guys. So, you know, I'm really funny about what I wear in the kitchen and stuff. And I'm funny about what I like and what I feel comfortable with. I'm a big guy. You know, I'm 6'2", almost 6'3", 250 pounds. You know, I got to be comfortable. It's important for me to be comfortable. And you know, I'm very funny about what I like to wear when I'm working. But I tell you what, let me tell you something. I recently just purchased a brand new kitchen shirt. Brand new, not a chef coat, a kitchen shirt, because I like to wear shirts. They're more comfortable to me. I have coats too, but it's black, you know, typical. But it's from my man Carlos over at Lost Car. And let me tell you something. This might be the most comfortable shirt I've ever worn in my life. I want to buy some just to wear around. It's unbelievable. They're incredibly comfortable. They look great. And they're like, the air flows through them. I don't know. It's kind of, you feel like, it makes me feel pretty. I guess that's the best way to put it. It's got the cool magnetic thing in the back for your apron to keep it on place. I'm excited to give it a go. We're going to be at the World Food Championships this year. And we're also going to be at the Chef's Farm to Table Challenge happening in New Orleans. I think that we might be rocking these down there, man, because I'm excited about it because they're so comfortable. I can't wait for my sous chef to check it out. We're excited about it. So, Carlos, well done, sir. Well done. I'm totally digging it, brother. I coach too, but they get too heavy for me. I don't. Everyone's told me to give it a go, so I bought the Grunt. It's fantastic. Highly, highly recommend it from your boy right here. The Grunt is a fantastic shirt from my man over there, Carlos at Lost Car Chef. Make sure you check those guys out because it's pretty awesome. It's pretty, pretty awesome. It's so comfortable. That's the whole thing. And of course, next week, next Saturday night, we have the sold out dinner happening here. If you're in the tri-state area, you're missing out. It's going to be amazing. We're doing a few courses over at Cops Island, Cops Island Oysters. If you haven't checked out the video we did with them with Edible Magazine, it's a great spot because that's how I found these guys and just completely fell in love with them. They're amazing. What they do, how they bring the product, how they care for the product, how they take care of the environment when they're doing it, how sustainable it is. I just fell in love with these guys. I'm looking forward to doing an amazing dinner with them. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's sold out. So I think I'm doing radio and TV later this week to promote the event, and there might be a surprise. So if you're on the waiting list, stay there because there might be a surprise for you. And if you want to get on the waiting list, I highly recommend you do it because if we do, let's just say we happen to release some more tickets for this event because the demand's been pretty good for it. If we were to do it, the first place it's going to go is the waiting list for the tickets. So go to Eventbrite, type in Chef Plum. The event pops right up right there. You see the waiting list. You can get on it. And if we were to happen to maybe possibly announce on Wednesday on the radio that we were going to have more tickets or on ABC, WTNH, we announce we have more tickets, that's where the first place they're going to go. And then, obviously, after that, just you know, social media and all the other places. That's where it's all going to go. So check that out. Going to be a great night. I'm really looking forward to it. Hey, you see my new Lost Car shirt if you come, because I'm going to wear it. I think I'm actually going to wear it on TV too. Hope that makes Carlos happy. I'm going to wear it for him there and he'll see it. And the show's not going to air till the fall, but at least he'll see me rocking his shirt because it's really, really, really comfortable. Looking forward to it. I did one other thing I want to talk to you guys about that I did that was kind of fun, man. I had a regular client of mine asked me to come over to their house and do a brunch catering for them. And I was like, yeah, happy to. So we did it yesterday. Went over, made a beautiful brioche French toast for them with a little poached egg. They loved it. It was great. It looked great. But I learned a valuable lesson. After almost 20 years in this business, I'm still learning valuable lessons. And I hope that I continue to learn valuable lessons because that's what makes us great cooks. Because in the end, if you're not a great cook, then what are you doing here? But you should always strive to be the best. So learning lessons are what help you get to be the best. So what happened was I had my stuff in one of those brown paper bags that you see, you know, at the grocery store that they might put your groceries in or something like that. I had all of my stuff in there. The breads were in there. The eggs were in there. I had hand squeezed a bunch of oranges to make the mimosas. So I had a jar of orange juice, freshly squozen orange juice, if you could say. And it was all ready to rock and roll, ready to go. We were ready to get up there and start cooking and make this amazing brunch for them. He happens to live in Yonkers, so I go to his apartment building. I ring the bell, let them know I'm there. He's like, hey, chef, I'm on the way down. Don't worry. So he comes down, and as he's coming down, my bag breaks. The little handles on the paper bag. You know, those paper bags from the grocery store that have those handles. Like, I got like a Whole Foods bag, I guess is the best way to describe it. The damn handles broke. And, of course, me trying to look cool at the client's house, I had some things in glass jars like a jackass. I had made a melon sorbet to finish them off. And, of course, it was in a jar. And, of course, it fucking broke. So I lost half of my prep that I had done for this beautiful brunch for these two great clients of mine. And it was all over the ground. And honestly, like, he came down, opened the door, and there I am bending over, picking up the shit. Like, I was so embarrassed, man. I was, but I couldn't help it. You know, these things happen. He's really cool. We made it all work out. I did a bunch of prep up there. I got a couple of things that he had sitting around the house, and ended up making a beautiful brunch for them. It turned out great. Thankfully, I didn't lose my egg batter, because that would have been really bad. And there was a little bit of glass, but it was in a container, so it didn't go everywhere. But moral of the story, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you private chefs and caterers out there who are going out to do gigs, if you don't already know, please get yourself a nice new good carrying bag for your stuff, because you try to take shortcuts something you don't think about like that. It's going to break, it's going to tear, and you're going to be standing there with broken shit everywhere when you go to the client's house. And trust me, you don't want to do that. You look like an asshole, kind of like I did. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to take a breather real quick. We'll play our quick spot, and then we're going to come back with our guest tonight, the one and only Chef Timo. You guys are checking out the number one digital audio broadcast on a Monday night at 10 p.m., Plum Love Foods Live. We'll be right back, guys. Stay right there. Oh, that's right, guys. My knife is smarter than yours. That's right, smarter. I'm talking Ergo Chef Knives. The unique patented shape makes it more of an extension of your hand. The curved handle of an Ergo Chef Knives allows for smoother cutting and less fatigue in your hand. Listen, I use these knives every day, and they are fantastic. They're my go-to knives. If I use a normal knife, like a regular chef knife anymore, my hands start to hurt and feel achy. Trust me, guys, I'm not making this up. These knives are the jam. Check them out at ergochef.com. That's ergochef.com. And tell them Chef Plum sent you by using the promo code PLUM15OFF. And get 15% off your purchase. Mike and Scott are great dudes over there, so check them out at ergochef.com. And
woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil sends the beast with wrath, because he knows the time is short. Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. Its number is 666.
I left alone. My mind was blank. I needed time to think, to get the memories from my mind. What did I see? Could I believe that what I saw that night was real and not just fantasy? Just what I saw in my old dreams was a reflection of my woman staring back at me. Cause in my dreams,
Iron Maiden. Like, what the hell is better than Iron Maiden? Nothing. How about that? I couldn't think of a better song to bring in my guest right now. He literally is honestly, my guest, he's one of the nicest guys I've met. He's one of the most genuine guys I've met in this business. He's one of the most amazing guys to have food conversations with. And I was honored and humbled to have the opportunity this past weekend at Time Out Magazine and New York Best Wings Festival's wing event to hang out with my guest right now, the one and only Chef Timo. Brother, what's going on?
Hey, man, what an introduction. Iron Maiden, come on. Doesn't get any better than that.
Listen, honestly, I'm listening to it, and I'm like, maybe I should just let it play and grab my guitar and just fucking let Tim talk on his own. Because I haven't heard that song ever.
I sang the whole thing all the way through listening to it, man. You know, I felt like I was 12 years old sitting in my bedroom again, just, you know, looking at those posters of Eddie on the wall, you know, just the screams and the hisses of Bruce Dickinson and everyone in the band of Iron Maiden. What a great intro. Thanks, man. You know, you only asked me once. You asked me three questions. Who do you like? And I picked Maiden, and you nailed it.
Real good stuff, brother. Anybody says Maiden, that's where I'm going to go, man, because I'm a giant Maiden fan myself. And here's the thing. Too many people go for the fucking live version. I got the album, 1981. Nah. That's what we pulled it off of. That's what we want, right?
It's all about when you hear woe to you from earth to sea, for the devil sends the beast with wrath. You've got to hear that beginning, and then that crunch of that guitar, and then Bruce Dickinson just screaming in, wow, you know, amazing.
They don't do it like that anymore, man. They just don't do it.
No,
hey,
sure
if you guys
don't.
Haven't figured out, this Chef and I are two old metalheads, if you haven't figured it out by now, but that's what it is.
That's for sure. Have you noticed, you know, a lot of chefs are metalheads? I got to tell you, man. You know, it's like this club that we're all in. We're all these crazy guys who play around with knives and fire and cook food and listen to metal. It's something else, man.
That's exactly what it is, and I refer to it in this program as it's almost like, you know, especially like our generation, you and I are close in our generation of cooks, I think, and we're like a broken band of pirates. You know, I don't know about you, but in my, you know, I didn't really ask for this job. It just kind of happened. I just kind of happened to into it. I wasn't good at anything else. That's all I could do. So, you know.
Same here. We were kind of outcasts in school. We listened to metal. We had long hair. We wore denim and leather and, you know, boots and all that jazz. And what happened was we usually only could get a job in a fast food restaurant, right? Am I right or wrong? I'll tell you, that's where I got my beginning, brother. And you know what? And then I realized, hey, there's this thing called food that people really, really dig, cuisine, all that jazz. And you know what? I decided to jump into that, go to cooking school and learn everything I could and just absorb like a sponge. And then, you know, success, not too bad for a crazy guy from Long Island with long hair and an ugly face. Right.
Well, look, I think you're, and listen, I think you're a 10 in my book, Chef. Don't worry about it. I think you're pretty. How about that?
Thank you, my friend.
You're right, though. It really is interesting when you look at it because we come from that generation of doing that. You know, for me, dude, I worked in KFC. Like, I didn't fucking know what I was doing. I was going to school for theater, and then I ended up working in restaurants, and then just kind of became what I did. And, you know, that's what it was. But it's interesting now because you're seeing a whole different generation of cooks coming out now who, you know, that they go to school, like in high school, they have like a culinary program. They come out and they go to, you know, it's good to see and scary to see, I think.
I love it. I support it. You know, I welcome it. I got a 16-year-old kid working with us over at Beauty right now. And, you know, I think it's the coolest thing. The cat's going to school. He's off for the summer, you know, instead of just hanging out and being a bum, he decided to jump in the kitchen and learn a craft. And I got a lot of respect for that, and I totally support it. So, you know, one of the coolest things for me right now is, you know, as we get older, we're older, you know, I'm in my 40s, this and that. And, of course, it's always about making the best food, the best cuisine, the best dish. But it's also about passing along this craft that we love so much. And if I can do that to these cats who are younger and really want to learn, then I'm accomplishing something. And I think it's really, really cool.
Well, it feels good to teach people, I think, because listen, you know, people, guys like you and I have been around the block and seen things, and, you know, we don't know it all. You never will know it all. But if you can share something with somebody.
Hey, you just learned not to play around with paper bags anymore,
oh,
brother.
Oh, God. I'm such an asshole, dude.
Bad deal. You know, that could have been so dangerous. Good thing it worked out okay. And you know what? Oh. Apparently, everybody's walking around with these cool, trendy bags when they go to, you know, when I go to the market now, nobody asks for paper or plastic. They apparently have these modern, like, knit bags to carry back.
Yeah, they bring their little hipster Brooklyn bags with little sayings on it or something. Ah, that's not me, man. I don't know. I'm lucky I can even get there.
I'm going to buy you one and bring it to the next Wingfest, the next judging contest we're doing this 26th, right?
I'm not going to be at that one. I'll be at the next one.
That's a damn shame.
Yeah, I got a big event on the 25th, so I'm not sure if it's going to be
able to. You're a busy guy.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. But speaking of busy, dude, you're a busy guy. Holy shit. How many restaurants are you involved with right now? And, I mean, Jesus, man, you're everywhere.
That's for sure. And, you know, and that's how I like it. You know, just one shot, one space, one place, you know, I get a little bit bored. So, you know, I had the privilege of, you know, working for Chef Chris Santos, who just continues on making and creating restaurants and cuisines and concepts and sauces. And just, of course, we all know he brings rock and roll and metal to the table as well. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
just working for him is just such an amazing thing. So, yeah, that's true. We got three restaurants in New York City right now. Of course, that would be Stanton Social, which we opened up over 10 years ago and still going strong. Yeah, huh? Amazing,
wow,
man. You know, funny thing, you know, way back, I remember when we were just gutting the place, and you know what? You know, I was a little broke back then, and you know, we weren't working the kitchen. We didn't have a kitchen. So, you know what I did? I took on some construction gig. I helped, you know, bang a couple of nails and you know, grab some wood and this and that, and, you know, help
nothing
build
that
Stanton Social. Yeah, and then, wow, we've been there strong 10 years. And then, of course, you know, Chris gets bored and Chris gets ideas and he wants to create another concept. So, you know, right around the corner, he decided to open up one of the biggest, baddest, coolest, hippest restaurants of all, and that would be Beauty in Essex. So,
yeah,
you know, that's what he did. And that, you know, we're in there 5 years already, and that still continues to go strong. So strong that he actually has done an offshoot, and he brought Beauty in Essex out into Vegas, where he is right now working his ass off. That's for damn sure. And, you know, that's what he is. He's a workaholic, no doubt about it. And then, of course, we just opened up the great restaurant called Vandal over on the Bowery. And, wow, talk about awesome. You know, once again, you know, Chef Chris Santos decides to take off and travel and go out to, you know, everywhere across the world, you know, and learn about street food and all sorts of tastes and flavors and, you know, all that kind of thing, that kind of concept. And then, you know what, he hires up some of the best street artists ever to come into this restaurant and paint artwork, graffiti, street art, all over the restaurant. So then what does he do? He combines the idea of street food and street art and brings it to a restaurant, and everybody digs it. Wow.
It's amazing. I told you, I got to go to the Friends and Family, our buddy Derek Prince, invited me to come out there, and I love
Derek
that
Prince,
guy.
By the way, is
amazing.
A killer.
He's a good guy, man.
What
he's a beast.
Killer. Yeah.
You look
at
a guy who came into this business a little bit late and, you know, it's not what he was originally doing in his life, and God, he's a beast, man. Much respect for him.
Knocking it out of the ballpark is what he's doing. You know, he's chef de cuisine over at Stanton Social right now.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm so proud and happy for him, man. He's a good dude. He deserves it, and I'm sure he'll continue to do it. But, man.
Hey, brother, he's definitely one of us. You know, the moment I met him, I just said, you know, I shook his hand. We talked a little bit, and I said, yeah, welcome in. Come on, you're one of us. And, you know, watching him grow was just one of the coolest things ever. So, you know, it's a little brotherhood kind of thing happening, brotherhood and sisterhood. You know, all those guys and gals who really like to really cook, and we're real tight and we work hard and, you know, we get everything done. And it's been a hell of a ride and a lot of fun.
Well, just to go back to Vandal, man, you know, a great restaurant. I got to go over there. I really, really enjoyed my time hanging out. It's unbelievably, like, just beautiful. Like, you got to walk through the flower shop to get there. It's really, really cool. It's a great spot, man. How big of a hand did you have in the menu over there?
You know, I got to tell you, I didn't have that much. You know, I got a few items on that menu right now that are really killer. You know, I came up with a really good lobster scampi dish. And, you know, I think it's just really, really great. And so, you know, what was happening, you know, of course, Chef Chris Santos, and as you know, Chef Jonathan Kavarakis, the two of them had traveled together to learn all this, and they really came up and developed everything together. You know, ton of work, and you know what? This is what's cool about the brotherhood. You know, not everybody has to be the star of the show. You know, I understood Chef Santos and Chef Jonathan, you know, what they wanted. So instead of saying, well, I got a better idea, or you know what, let's do it this way, I listened to what they wanted. I listened to what they were thinking. I tried to understand the flavors that they tasted when they traveled all over the world. And then we created the menu that they had the ideas for. And then we just put together the flavors. You know, we put together a whole damn good crew, you know, the best of the best. And what we did is excuse me, we weren't open for a while. However, we had an operating kitchen, so we could taste things every day, day after day after day. And I'm talking about, you know, I'm talking about we have 50 solid dishes. And you know what? Some made it on the list and some didn't. Now, remember, the ones that didn't make it on the list wasn't because they weren't great. There were just other things that were better. However, those things are sitting aside in our pocket because what we're going to do is, you know, when seasons change, of course, you're using different cuisine and all that ingredients and all that. So that's when those recipes that didn't make it on the current menu but can come back another time in another season, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I want to go back to something you said there. It makes total sense, dude. But I want to back up to something you said there because we have a lot of young culinarians, young cooks that listen to this show, and you said something really, really insightful there. And I want to make sure I'm going to point out so everybody heard it. When you were doing this restaurant with these guys and you went in there, you didn't try to, you know, go in there and be the star of the show. You went in there and you tried to understand the flavors that they were tasting when they would make these dishes. I think that's something that so many people need to stop and realize that sometimes. Take the time to understand. Listen to what the chef is saying. Understand why he's saying it and try to figure out why. Try to taste it. Try to see it in there. I mean, I think you can learn so much from doing that.
You're absolutely right. You know, I'm really glad I said it. I'm going to take a lot of credit for that. You know, I didn't realize
just
how important that was. But you're right. You know, not everybody wants a chef who knows everything. Everybody wants a chef who can, you know, work with ideas and listen to what the you know, the executive chefs are trying to get across. And you know, I totally think we totally accomplished that when it came to that. You know, Chef Chris Santos and Chef Jonathan were really, you know, we're talking about big, major talents. So, you know, instead of just saying, well, I'd like to do it this way, I say, yeah, I like the way you want it. Let me get my hands in there and develop something for you. And, you know, that's what we did. It was amazing. You know, it was a real good, fun time. You know what? We didn't have the pressure. You know, it wasn't like we were under pressure. It wasn't like, you know, well, we had deadlines. Of course, there's always deadlines to meet. It was a relaxed environment. And, you know, it's kind of like what you really need when you're really developing and creating. You know, it's almost like when a metal band, you know, decides to get away and get into the studio and create the greatest record that they can. You know, we got away into this kitchen and we brought ourselves all together, you know, our little brotherhood, and, you know, we took our time with developing, and we really made it a hit. And, you know, working under Chef Santos and for Chef Jonathan is just really amazing.
And they give you the creative freedom there a little bit, too, to do some things.
Absolutely. Got a lot of creative freedom, no doubt about it. It's just a real cool brotherhood thing, and you know, we all respect each other's, you know, ideas and all that, and we nailed it. You know, it was a team effort, and we got it done, and it's going to continue to happen.
Well, man, I've got the first date night with my wife coming up here next week. We have finally a date night. We're going to be down on the Lower East Side for a buddy of mine's show, so I might call you for dinner somewhere, man. You got to tell me where to go.
Done, brother. Whatever you want. You know what? If it's kind of a date thing, you want to be romantic. You want to impress your wife. You know, beauty and ethics is really just, you know, over the top. You know, of course, your wife's going to get a chance to go into our elegant ladies' room, where of course she'll sip champagne, which we have in the ladies' room. Beautiful couches, beautiful. Yeah, no, really, I'm not kidding. It's just a real elegant spot. I think it's a great place to bring a date. And then, you know, there's the, you know, the nightlife that's happening. We got great music, great DJs, and you know, people are dancing and drinking and eating food and having the time of their lives. So, you know,
yeah,
I totally recommend
amazing.
Beauty for this date, and I intend to set it all up for you, brother.
You're the man, dude. I haven't been there, dude. I've like I said, I did the Vandal, which was incredible, and Stanton Social I've done. So also, the Beauty
also,
and Ethics
be
in Las Vegas for the restaurant in Vegas. My buddy Cody Barbara from Industry, which is an incredible app he's doing for kitchen folks, they were just out there this past weekend and said it was amazing.
Yeah. I don't have my hands too much in what's going on over there. Obviously, I'm in New York City, so there's not much
of course
I can really do. But what Chef Santos decided to do was bring, you know, some really great, you know, all the stuff that beauty has in New York City to Las Vegas. And the hard part about doing that is what you really have to do is you have to develop your recipes and monkey-proof everything so everything tastes the same from
yeah.
New York to Vegas. Example, you know, we got a lot of, you know, we got real A-list clientele and, you know, people who travel a lot. And, you know, there's a lot of people who's eaten that the one in New York, and now they're going to try the one in Vegas. And when they go to Vegas, they want to taste exactly what they tasted when they were in New York City. So,
sure.
You know, that's not a hard, that's not an easy thing to do, but it's something that Chef Santos totally pulled off. And, you know, it's not just about the – well, of course it's about the food. We got – I'm sorry. I got to tell you, we got the greatest food – you know, in the city, if you ask me. And we also have the nightlife and the cool concept. You know, you got a pawn shop when you first walk in, and, you know,
yeah.
it's all about the jewelry and the elegant chandeliers. And, you know, it's just really amazing stuff. And to be able to pack all that up from New York City, not necessarily pack it all up, but pack that idea up from New York City and transfer it all the way to Vegas and make it successful, wow, that's something
wow.
else, right?
That's
yeah.
incredible. I just can't imagine
yeah,
the stress level. Holy shit,
yeah.
that's insane, man. So, I mean, listen, this is the thing. Like, you're such a humble guy.
Yeah.
You really, really are. You're such a – you're just very genuine when you talk, and it oozes out of you to when I hear you talk, and it's such an amazing quality. But you yourself, man, I mean, you put over Chef Santos. You put over the restaurants, like,
mm-hmm.
Of course, as I would expect. But, man,
you're no slouch yourself,
though, man. You've done some stuff. You've been on Chops twice now, right?
I've been on Chopped twice, yeah. I killed it once, that's for damn sure. You know, I really,
nice.
You know, I nailed it out of the ballpark. You know, the funny thing is the first one that I did, you know, was entitled Bizarre Baskets. One of the things that made me, well, not made me, but one of the things that one of the reasons why I did so well is the guys that I was going up against were so damn good. No kidding.
Wow.
These guys were real deal chefs. So when, you know, you get four real deal chefs in a kitchen together, all they want to do, you know, they're feeding off of one another. They're bouncing off
sure.
one another. The talent is just, you know, ready to come out. Because I was watching guys who were really, really good, it brought out the best in me as well. So, you know, I managed to knock them all out and take a win for that. And, so that's a pretty good accomplishment, no doubt about it.
So let me ask you this. So everything
yeah.
I've done, I've done a bunch of stuff with Food Network, and some of the stuff I've done too, I've always made the joke about how you don't get paid from it until a few months after the show itself airs, because Food Network kind of hopes you get hit by a bus and they don't have to pay you.
Really? I didn't know that.
Is that how it happens to you
too? No, I'll tell you this, and you know what? It's the truth. I didn't do that for the dough. Didn't even matter.
Yeah.
I went out there just because,
didn't
you
hurt,
know what?
Though.
Oh no, didn't hurt. You know, money's great. But let me tell you the real reason. And you know what? You say I'm a real genuine, humble guy. And I'll tell you the real reason that I wanted to do that is because the industry that I chosen to be in has blown up. I mean, you know,
yeah.
you know, 20 years ago when I was in cooking school, you know, we were talking about, well, maybe I'll write a cookbook. Maybe I'll own my own restaurant. Maybe I'll do this.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Nowadays, it's, you know, maybe I'll have my own television show. Maybe I'll go on
See.
Food Network. Maybe I'll start my own clothing line. Maybe I'll do my own cookware. Maybe I'll, you know, be a food blogger, whatever. So with all these things that are out there, because I've decided to go with this career, if I don't take it, that's nuts. So the real reason that I did that was just to say, holy cow, I really, really tried hard in my career, in my industry, and I'm the best. Well, I'm not going to say I'm the best of the best, but I'm pretty damn good. You know, I managed to do
yeah.
something that I'm trying to think of how I want to explain it. I managed to be really successful in the career that I chosen, and I did it on TV. Not bad, right?
Not bad at all. And I tell you what,
yeah.
I mean, it's not an easy career either. It's really, really not.
Nah.
I mean, It could separate the riffraff gets knocked out pretty quickly. You know, when I went to culinary school, there was 71 of us started, 32 of us finished, and it was no joke. It was no joke. And I've watched them come and go. You know, I've watched them come and go. But you know, and the thing about the TV stuff, which is fun, you can use it to market market yourself. I've built my career on it. The things I've done on TV
right.
is how I've done my private.
Yeah, but you're a real deal chef. You're
yeah,
also a real
I mean,
deal chef. I've seen you. I mean, you know, there are TV personalities, and then there are chefs who
right.
are on TV. That's you, man.
Well, it's important
really?
To know how to cook.
Yep.
I believe if you're going to talk about something, mm-hmm. you need to actually be legit about it. And,
agreed.
You know, I think you're the same way. Absolutely. But still,
mm-hmm.
your second time on Chopped, now you didn't have quite the same luck, did you?
No, I didn't. But you know what? That was okay. You know, what, man? Well, you know, there's, you know, like I said in the first Chopped, there's a winner and loser in every game. And, you
yep.
know, sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. I don't think I lost. I just didn't win it. You know,
right.
I cooked good. I got every food, you know, I got every ingredient on the plate. It just didn't go my way. I'm cool with it. You know, I wish the other people luck. I think some things might have been debatable. I think I don't know what to say. I think maybe I had a shot to go to the dessert round, but it didn't work that way. It didn't work in my favor. And you know what? I'm not one of the judges. I'm a contestant. I'm a competitor. So you know
right.
what? You also have to have that respect. You know, I'm not. You know, you got to accept what, you know, what the judges say. So you know, I had a blast. No doubt about that. Met some cool people. Shook a lot of cool hands. And you know, it was a great experience. So I got no problem with it. You know, if they call me back tomorrow, I'll come back. And you know, who knows? Apparently, I'm an interesting guy on television. So, and I can cook all at the same time. So I'll take full advantage of that.
That's what they want, man. But listen, it's completely, you know, you're not going to win every time. My episode of Cutthroat Kitchen aired recently, and I went
tough
out in
show.
The first round. Oh, dude,
tough.
I said no to it for years. I said no to it, but I finally said yes, and I went. I went out in the first round. I had a great time. I went out and had to play golf. I was making scotch eggs. I had to play golf. It fucked me all up. I hate golf. I ended up hitting the eggs towards the other competitors. I just tapped out and started hitting the eggs towards everybody else. And but the funny part was, bro, the funny part was, and you know,
uh-huh.
same thing, if you're interesting on TV, the show is only an hour long. The half an hour of the show is me running my mouth. That's all it is.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they want.
Well,
know?
Everybody digs it, man. That's going to keep viewers watching it, no doubt about it. You're you know, that's your persona, that's your personality coming through. Lucky enough, you also know how to throw down in the kitchen. The funny thing is with the show that you just mentioned, Cutthroat Kitchen. Now, good show,
yeah.
fun to watch, no doubt about it. But it's an easy way to lose. I don't. You could be
oh
the
God.
Best chef in the world. You could
exactly.
be a certified master chef and get knocked out with,
yep.
you know, you got to wear fins on your hands to cook
yeah.
for the next 10 minutes, you know, and you're
absolutely.
Done. You're done. There's nothing you can do about it. So, you know, the fact that you took a loss from there, that's not a big deal. It happens.
Nah.
Anyone, that's kind of a, you know, it's kind of like a lottery. Whatever you get hit with, you know, you could easily be taken out.
Yeah, and, like, that's just the way it goes. The funny part was, so I was like, a trip to L.A., you know, it'll be fun to go hang out with my buddies over there. And one of my friends, this is my last story, one of my friends that was over there I was hanging out with, we
right.
had dinner together. His
uh-huh.
episode had just aired. He had done Cutthroat. He's the only competitor to ever do it. This guy is legit as they come. He was the only competitor to ever be on Cutthroat Kitchen, not spend a dime, and win.
Really? You're kidding me. I'm going to have to Google that or YouTube it because that's a big deal. He spent no money and won. That's
nope,
a big
no
deal.
Money. Chef Kyle Schutte, he's amazing from L.A. Great. I mean, he was fucking at the end, man. He's got one of those weird dog neck things on so the dogs can't scratch their ears. He's got one of those
what?
On. Yeah. He took
me?
His mixing bowls
oh,
away.
That's
funny. He's trying to make ice cream with no mixing bowl. All he had to use was a fucking like cone. He had to make all the shit in like a road cone. It was ridiculous, dude.
Not only do I have to see this show, I want to meet this guy. Does he ever come into New York City often?
Oh, he hasn't in a while. He's opening a whole place out there right now. He's an amazing guy.
Right.
You guys are getting along great. This guy is awesome.
Yeah,
we got along amazing. I met him on a show called The Taste. He was my roommate, and we just got along like fucking swimmingly. Great guy, real food guy. It was awesome.
Very cool.
Anyway, all that shit aside, but you've had some great experience there doing that stuff with Food Network, and all that's great because it just builds your name up, you know. And even having
yeah.
that stuff done, but I gotta ask you before we move on from that. So when you lost that round, or you didn't go through the next round on that, did Santos bust your balls some?
No, it didn't bust my balls. You know, no reason to. I already proved myself in the first thing of Bizarre Baskets, no doubt about it. You know, I nailed it out of the ballpark. I just went in there to win, and that's what I did. You know, taking a loss, it happens. You know, it's unfortunate. It's, you know, you know what? I'm not a sore loser. You know, I don't like to lose. I didn't go out to lose. But you know what? I was cool with it. It was good.
It's the way it goes.
I didn't bust my balls. What's that?
You don't strike me as a guy who would be angry about it, but – you know, I thought in good fun.
You know what? I sat down on my couch and thought about it a few times and said what I could have done, what I should have done.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I can move on to other things. I got 100 other things in my pocket to do.
No doubt.
I work for one of the hottest celebrity chefs in New York City right now. There's always another restaurant
adventure
to open. There's always another thing to do. And then, exactly. And, you know, I'm meeting other people, shaking hands with other people and, you know, learning the business. And I do want to break into television. And, of course, you know, if I had won that, that could have helped launch me into, you know, more of a better way to get involved on TV. But it didn't go that way. It didn't go that way. You know, it wasn't like, you know, I'll tell you what, if I forgot an ingredient – or if I didn't make four plates, then I would be angry. But I played the rules. I played the game. I played the game the way the game should be played. The other two people just happened to do it better. And if you ask me, it's a wee bit debatable. But there's no reason to get into that. What's done is done.
Yeah. Exactly. Listen, you have these judges. It's an opinion. If they woke up on the other side of the bed that morning, you never know what would have happened, right?
That's a possibility, but it is. I was a little when I saw them, Ted Allen lift the dish and show which one was chopped. I actually didn't expect it to be mine. And if I'm correct, I only saw this show once, so I don't know what happened. But I think I yelled, "Oh man!" And because I didn't expect it.
There were
other things going on in that kitchen that I thought were, I think one of the contestants kind of overdid it with sesame oil. And, you know, all of us chefs know, you know what, you can kill a dish with sesame oil.
And destroy it.
So I thought that was, an automatic me moving ahead. But it wasn't. And you know what, that's cool. I'm cool with it. And, I'm working with other people about developing a show. I can't really get into much details. And, it's all about just getting out there. You know, the moment you invited me on the show, I said, I'm in. Yeah, this is cool. I want to get, I want people to hear my voice, know what I do and how I cook. And, know my attitude. And, I'm into rock and roll. I'm into cooking. I'm hilarious as heck. If you had a chance to actually watch me in the kitchen, I am really funny. You know, our kitchens are really multicultural. And we have people who speak different languages and everything. Some people don't even understand the language I speak. But they watch me and they hear me talk and the sounds and my body moves and whatnot, and they find me hilarious. So, that's another way how I get the job done in a busy kitchen. I want to bring that into television. And then, of course, I got a side project going on. Chef Chris Santos, of course, is the mastermind of it. But we got this killer barbecue sauce. It's called Rattler.
That's where I was going next.
Cool. Well, I thought I'd mention it first, if that's okay with you. It's a sauce I really dig. I eat it normally. I put it on my burger. I put it on my fries. It's great with chicken. It works with seafood. It works with fish. It's just a real killer barbecue sauce. And, I was just thinking,
what goes into making that, man? So it's a sauce. Delicious. It's fantastic. But, what's the genesis of it? Like, okay, we're going to make a sauce. Great. And you get charged with doing it. You told me the story a little bit at the Wing event.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, I got to make a sauce. How am I going to do this?
I'll tell you this, I'm not going to give every ingredient away, but what I will say is there's three ingredients that really work together. Well, there's probably four. Of course, there's tomatoes and ketchup, okay? So, that's the base of the barbecue sauce. But the three ingredients of organic raisins, a really good coffee, and the cascabel chili peppers.
Yeah, the chili.
Are what really makes it happen, the cascabel chilies. And it's the sweetness of the raisins. It's the beautiful savoriness of the coffee, and then it's the heat of these cascabel chilies, what gives it the bite in the end. So it's like whenever you taste this sauce, it's not heavily sweet, but it's got a little bit of sweetness in the beginning, and then there's that savory with the coffee and the molasses and all that jazz, and then there's that bite. and that's the Cascabel chili. And, you know, it was, you know, we worked with a bunch of chilies, we played around with it, and, you know, Chef Santos was there like, I really want to try this dried chili. And so, you know, the moment I looked at it, I said, it's dry, it definitely needs to be rehydrated. So what do I do? Well, you know, coffee is a great ingredient. I've been making, I've been making barbecue sauce with coffee for a long, long time. And,
right.
So I said, well, let me rehydrate these chilies in the coffee make them soft, you know, to add that to the barbecue sauce. So I did that, and then not only did I do that, but then I took the coffee that, rehydrated the chilies in and added that to the barbecue sauce. So there's the savory and heat happening, and it was just these ingredients that worked so well together, and, you know, that's what Rattler's all about.
Man,
and
so when you do a sauce
you know,
like this, when you do a sauce like this, to the level you guys are doing it, are you a contract producing it now? Like, have a company making it for you, like, based on the recipe?
Well, we got it bottled, so, you know, that wasn't an easy thing to do either, you know, because, of course, these recipes have to be developed in a factory and all that jazz, and then they have to be bottled correctly and all that, too. And then, of course, money is a thing, too. So, you know, we want to, we all know money talks, bullshit walks, but we also, you know, us chefs, we also cook to make the best product. So, you know, there was no way that we were going to put out something cheap or inexpensive that just didn't taste good. We'd spend the money if we had to. So where you can get this sauce right now is to go to santoscooks.com. And, you know, what we're doing is we're offering one bottle for $8. We got a mini case of three for $22.50. And then there's a full case of 12 at $75. And of course, you know, whenever I get the chance, I'm peddling it, selling it, and sometimes even giving it away. If you remember, I did that at our chicken wing event and all that jazz.
At the wing event.
You know, people are digging it. Everybody's liking it. You know, I gave away 8 bottles, and I got 5 emails from the people that they dug it, and where do I get more and all that jazz. So
that's awesome.
Not
that's
bad.
What you want.
Yeah.
No,
very
that's
awesome.
What you want right there. I mean, this sauce is actually delicious on wings, to be honest with you. It's awesome.
Well, you know, I got some wings in mind. You know, right now I'm working as a judge, so I can't enter. But I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, Matt, of course, has, you know, I'm going to do the June 26th Wing Fest here in Astoria, Queens at Bohemian Beer Garden. And then there's going to be another one in July, which I think I might just step down as a judge and, you know, enter my wings. And
really?
Of course, they're going to be – well, of course, they're going to – well, you know, it's not confirmed. It's something I got to talk about with some others and all that jazz. But, you know, I got some really killer ideas. And, of course, Rattler comes involved in that. So it just works. I've been doing wings with Rattler for a while. I'm considering putting them on the menu. And then, of course, I want to – enter them in the Wing Fest in July. We'll see what happens, though.
We'll see what they go, man. Hey, if I'm judging that Wing Fest, I'm going to be able to tell. So. Hey, check it out, man.
Hey, we
tasted
some killer wings, man.
Dude, we sure did, man. Listen, I want you to make sure this year for the big festival out on Long Island, the New York Best Wings Festival, you're not working. You need to come be a judge and hang out at, because it is a great time to have a blast. We'll have a blast.
Will do.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun. And check it out. If you guys want to check out that sauce, you can go to santoscooks.com. There's some great deals on it. $8 a bottle. You can't go wrong. 2 bottles for $22.50. I mean, come on.
Actually, 3 bottles, brother. 3 bottles.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah,
3
don't
bottles.
Don't shortchange these guys. Got a mini case of 3 bottles. $22.50. Yeah.
That's a great deal on it, man. This sauce is great on everything. Make sure you check it out. Santoscooks.com. You can find it there, man. It's good stuff, man. I'm telling you. I had it – the first time I had it was at the Hot Sauce Festival a couple years ago. Great
stuff.
That's
right. That's when we first met. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We did, man. We were running our mouths. That was my first hot sauce judging, and I'll tell you what. I was when you start eating the hot sauce, the fucking endorphins, I had no idea what the fuck was going on. It was awesome.
You know, the funny thing is, you know, when it comes to judging, I take it real seriously. You know why? I've been judged.
You know,
I did shots twice. So you know, I know what it feels to be the competitor, and I also know what it feels to be the judge. And, you know, when these cats come out as competitors, you want to be serious. You want to take their food seriously. You want to be able to taste everything. So, you know, that's what we did at the Wing Fest. So we chose the winner, and that guy they nailed it. That was a great wing. Now, when it comes to the hot sauce things, you know, one of the things that I really try to do is not go overboard with it because, you know,
tough.
You get your tongue. You get your tongue so burnt. Hey, you just can't taste anything. And I'll never forget one of the ones, I'm pretty sure you were there. We were all judging. It was something that Matt had put to, Steve from High River Sauces,
yeah.
Killer Sauce.
Good
That's
guy.
The guy who we work with Rattler, by the way, who really
Man, what a great
just,
dude.
You know, helps promote it and does some of the best hot sauces. And what we did
he's
was
been on,
what
he's been
I did
on the
was,
show, too. He's a great guy, man. Steve is a really, really good dude, man. He's a good guest
show
on this
tonight?
Show.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great
well,
guy, man.
Like I said, it's a brotherhood. We all know each other,
yeah.
You know, and not only
absolutely.
That, Steve's a big rock and roll metalhead, no doubt about
it. Oh,
yeah. I mean, and a musician, a real deal musician. He's toured with some of the best rock and roll acts that you can imagine. And, you know,
wow.
He's dedicated a lot of his time to this hot sauce thing, and he's really nailed it. I got a lot of respect for him, a lot.
Yeah, and he's doing well for himself. You know, listen,
yeah.
I come from the territory of – I mean, you know, my wife is a 10. I'm a 4.5 at best. He's doing well for himself. His wife is a 10, and he's a 4.5 too. So he's doing well for himself.
That's funny. I dig that. Very funny.
Oh, dude, so
yeah. Well,
speaking of musicians. So
yeah.
Look, sometimes looking at your Instagram page and just checking out your social media, man. Dude, you. I don't even know how to start. You made Thanksgiving dinner for the. Fucking Kerry King, one of the, I mean, metal god. I mean, fucking
what
Slayer.
A privilege.
Are you kidding me?
Whoa.
Holy shit.
Something I'll never forget. I didn't just do it once. I did it twice.
Twice.
So two Thanksgivings, brother. Yeah.
You do it the first time.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, my God, this is crazy. Then they call you to do it again, and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. I know. Well, you know what? We were kind of thinking about bringing it into a tradition. You know, last Thanksgiving, Kerry wasn't able to make it because Slayer was out touring in Germany. So, you know, they
right.
weren't even in the States. But, you know, when September and October rolls around, you know, I'm talking, hey, Chef Santos, what's going on? What's Kerry doing? Is he going to be coming out for Thanksgiving? I definitely want to start, you know, coming up with some ideas and cooking for, you know, things that I know he's going to dig the most. And,
yeah.
You know, unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, it was fortunate. They, you know, they're on tour, they're making money, they're damn good.
Sure.
Killer, they're legends, no doubt about it.
Legends.
And so they're, yeah, you're right. You got to say it. They're legends. So, you know, he's busy and, you know, out of the States and everything, but let's see, maybe this Thanksgiving he'll get to roll around New York City again and we can cook him, you know, the best Thanksgiving dinner ever.
I mean, how does that happen? So you go, I don't even know what to say. Like, you go to Kerry King, and you're like, we're going to make food. And I just picture him, well, like, just, I don't even know how to, is he a family guy? Like, was he a super nice guy? Or was he, you think of, again, legend, like, the guy's glowing when I, you know, that's how I would picture it. Like, I wouldn't even know what to say.
Well, first of all, in a way, it starts with the magic of Chef Chris Santos. You know, Santos has broken into the rock and roll scene. He's got his own record company. You know, he's got a bunch of restaurants, and everybody knows he's a big metal fan. So, you know, he got a chance to meet Kerry, and they of course hit it off right from the beginning. And then, you know, Chris tells me, well, guess who's coming for Thanksgiving? And so, you know, I've been handling Thanksgiving at all for, I don't know, it's got to be the past. Well, I've been handling it every, you know, I've been at Stanton Social, Beauty in Essex. We did it at both restaurants before. So, you know, I've been handling Thanksgiving for 10 years now. And I think I could really, you know, if you saw my Instagram, you know, I think I've put some pictures of the turkeys I've done, you know, anywhere between 20 to 45, 50 turkeys a year. I think we did 40 last year. And, you know, he tells me, guess who's sitting down at the table? Not only are you going to prepare and get all this stuff done, but when you are done, you're going to change out of your, you know, out of your chef clothes, and you're going to get into your rock and roll gear, and you're going to sit down with the one and only Kerry King and eat Thanksgiving dinner. And that's what
Jesus.
I did. And, you know, yeah, I know. How do you say, you know, whoa, what's going on? Cool. I'm in. So,
wow.
You know, all I really did was, you know, we didn't talk much. What I did was I just watched him eat, you know, I wanted to see what he'd done. I wanted to see him eat the food that, you know, of course the whole restaurant prepared, but, you know, I put a lot of love and work into it. And, you know, back then, you know, the first Thanksgiving we had, my ribs, you know, I made a killer apple cider braised ribs. You know, remember, this is November, so, you know, of course, we're bringing in autumn flavors. So, you know, apple cider, nutmeg, cinnamon, Ground Sugar, Sage, and Thyme. And of course, so I braised the ribs in that, and then what's better than to make a barbecue glaze to go on those ribs? That, of course, is spiked with bourbon. Apparently, Kerry's a big fan of bourbon, so, you know, I knew that was the right choice. So, I saw him pick up the rib and eat that, and, you know, just watching him, and I knew he dug it, and, you know, that's all I needed to do. I just sat, watched, and ate my food. Chewed with my mouth closed, acted like a gentleman, which is kind of rare, and just dug the experience of having Kerry King at your table and eating food. So check off on your bucket list.
I mean, being the metalhead that you are, that you grew up as, like, mm-hmm. could you imagine going back in time 20 years and saying, "Hey, man, just keep doing it, and you get to hang out with Kerry King."
Nah, never thought that. Not only that, you know, I never really knew where metal would even go in general. You know, funny that it's so popular. It's the old school menu, the old school metal. It's the new school metal. But all these bands that I listened to as a teenager from 12 to 18 years of age. I mean, a lot of these cats are still around. They stood the test of time. Their music was important. Metal music has the best fans in the world. It does.
Well,
and metal continues to go. Yeah. And so now I never thought that. And then, then doing it once and then doing it twice, pretty damn good. And then, of course, you know, we did we do a lot of work with Jägermeister, too. Once again, that's something Chef Chris Santos has brought to the table.
Yeah.
And, you know, we toured on the Mayhem Festival. We did some Rattler. Yeah. Wow. Wow, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, you know, own tour bus, the works, and every day I couldn't believe I was getting paid for this. You know, this was like a rock and roll experience.
Shit.
You know, this was like a rock and roll experience, like that rock and roll camp where cats pay 10 grand to go to.
Yeah.
I would have ponied up 10 grand to do this. Instead, I got paid a fat check and had a blast. So,
how long was that tour? How long was that?
You know, it must have been about 2.5 to 3 weeks. Well, of course,
God.
The tour went on longer, but that's how long we were on it.
Yeah.
And what we did is, you know, we did these things called metal mixers, and after every show, all the bands would get together. Of course, they're hungry. Of course, they want to drink. Of course, they want, you know, they want to let loose and party. They just put together, you know, they just performed, you know, the most amazing show ever for the fans. Now it's time for them to relax. So we cooked for them every night. And, you know, one of the coolest things that I can tell you, you know, that comes from a metalhead and a real deal chef is, you know, way back when, you know, by the way, me and Chef Santos go back like 20 years. We've been working together for a long time. And I always knew he would bring things to the table. It's just the kind of person he was. You know, he said, you know, he does what he says, and he says what he wants to do. And he does it, and he gets it done. So, you know, he had a lot of these dreams and a lot of these thoughts. And I said, I'm going to stick with this cat. I dig him. So, of course, we did. And then, you know, he had a really small restaurant in Little Italy. And it was basically him and a couple other guys we had doing the food. And, of course, you know, it's Chef's Restaurant, so we get to listen to metal. And, you know, I can remember the listening to Rob Zombie and, all this great metal and all that on the radio, you know, the discs that we brought in. And this is
in the
late 1990s. And then who would have ever known is that I would be cooking food while Rob Zombie plays live on listening to it and waiting for the band to end. And one of the coolest things ever, and I'll tell you this, is, as the band and all the music played and, you know, of course, it's a festival, so you have numerous band members on. And then, of course, Rob Zombie is the star of the show, and he headlines it. And then when he comes on and he's playing it and I'm cooking and, you know the night's about to end soon because Rob Zombie's performing. And then, you know, of course, they do – you know, he switches it up a lot, but it's usually the same set list. And the moment that Thunder Kiss 65 comes on, I know we're about to get slammed because everybody's done. And then everybody comes back to relax and drink and eat. So it was just the excitement of hearing Thunder Kiss 65 and knowing now it's time for service to begin. All this prepping that I've done and all that, and now all the cooking. It was just, you know, just a real amazing time.
That's a great fucking tune, man.
Can't explain it. Yeah.
That's a great fucking tune, man. That's a great fucking
tune.
Oh,
no doubt about it. Just imagine cooking to it live and knowing the show is about to close and you're about to get hit with some of the biggest heavy hitters in metal and the biggest, best, coolest metal fans, and you're going to feed them. Nothing like
and
it, right?
Is,
the dream
guys
of the
chef. The nicest people, the metal fans, just these musicians.
No doubt about it.
They're just
no
so
doubt
nice.
About it.
And you would never expect it. They're the nicest people you'll ever meet. Dude, what was the craziest thing you saw when you were on tour? I'm sure there's stories there. Like, what was some of the most insane shit you saw?
I'm trying to think. Craziest thing I saw on tour. Well, you know, I had a chance to meet Rob Zombie and I blew it. So that was kind of a good story. It was my fault, not his. You know, it's so funny. Well, of course, we had our own tour bus, and you know, the people. You know, Jack Carson. I don't know if you know him, but he's big in the music industry, no doubt about it. And he's a big foodie, and he eats at all our restaurants. And he was basically like our road manager, our tour manager. So and a couple
manager.
Other people. So they. Right? So he comes. They all come to me and they say, you know, you got a chance to meet Rob Zombie, and I had a Rob Zombie shirt on me, but then I had his movies, his disc. I had the disc Past, Present, and Future, which came out probably 15 years ago, and it's a real deal good Rob Zombie because of course it brings together White Zombie, Rob Zombie solo records, and you know, and songs and all that all together. So I really wanted to get that signed. So I saw him. He's saying hi to everybody, good meet and greet, and all that. And there was a line, so I said, well, I'm kind of at the end of the line. I'm going to run back to the tour bus and get that fucking disc because I want it signed by the one and only Rob Zombie. By the time I get back, he literally was done. He turned his back, gave everybody the peace symbol, and said later, and took off. But you know what? I'll tell you, it was cool to get to see him do that. And, so I didn't get to meet the man, but, I got to tour with the guy and, you know, I got to hear his music live and watch it every night. So, you know, I'm not an easy guy. I don't disappoint easy. I wasn't disappointed. I didn't say, oh shit, I missed my chance. I said, shit, maybe I'll get a chance again. Maybe next year. Who knows?
Dude, it's amazing, and I talk about it on this show with people all the time. I mean, I don't think the regular population understands how powerful food can be. I mean, food can
bring people together,
people,
man.
Laugh,
everybody eats.
Cry. It can have you in the same room as Rob Zombie. Like, it's amazing when you look back at your journey and in your story. Your story is nowhere near finished yet, but your story, how you started off working at fast food. And food is taking you to the point where you went on tour with White Zombie. That's fucking
absolutely
crazy.
Hey, you're talking to a kid who worked at KFC too, and you know, and you know, I worked in Jack in the Box, and I worked at Blimpie's. You know, I was a manager there. And you know, it's really funny when you mentioned KFC. When I worked in KFC, there were only three things of chicken. We had original recipe, we had barbecue,
crispy and rotisserie,
and we had crispy. That's it. There was nothing else. There was coleslaw, mashed potatoes, gravy. Mm. That's it. None of that other stuff existed. It wasn't. We had corn. We had corn on the cob. That's it. And fountain drinks, soda. And now it's, you know, KFC has blown up. And you know what? I've blown up myself. I've changed. I've evolved. I went into fast food into some of the greatest, coolest cuisine ever made. Right now.
Ever. And if you but you think about even KFC. Like I joke about these two things: KFC and Taco Bell. And trust me, I'm not saying it's the greatest stuff ever, but from a line cook perspective, taking that line cook perspective, at KFC, you really were cooking. I mean, you really had to bread the chicken up and do a proper breading procedure. I mean, you were cooking food. I mean, same thing with Taco Bell. You had to work on a line. You worked your station, whether you were on the meats, whether you were on the vegetables, like you had to do your station. And it was, you know, for me, it was the beginnings of being a line cook, and that's exactly what it was. And I wouldn't trade it, man.
Totally agree, and I'll tell you what it is. You know, when it comes to being a line cook, a lot of it is what you call body mechanics. You have to know when to toss that pan, when to drop that fryer later, when to saute this veg, or when that meat is cooked properly, medium, rare, well done, whatever. And, you know, you get your chops in fast food. You have to have those body mechanics where you can saute, where you can toss a pan, and it all comes together on the plate or in the – styrofoam, to-go container.
Whether
it's fine food or whether it's fast food, you learn body mechanics. And then when you get serious, and that's what I did, then you learn the art of actual cooking and
Absolutely.
The art of seasoning and flavoring and temperatures
yeah.
and what people like and you know, how to cook shellfish properly and how to, you know, give them a really good medium-rare tomahawk steak. And you know, that's what you learn when you really get it. And then, of course, I learned French techniques, and I learned, you know, how to cook a risotto properly and always use a wooden spoon. And, you know, there's rules and regulations in the kitchen, and then there's things that you can break and change, and it's just a really fun environment.
It's awesome, man. And I think the big thing with that fast food stuff, you learn that sense of urgency, you know, which I think is so key. That sense of urgency you can get from working in that fast food place, man. I think that's
the
biggest thing I got from it, you know, just that go, go, go mentality, which is, you know, there's no wasted movement, which is really, really important.
You're always moving.
Brother, this has been such a fun conversation, man. You're so
Absolutely.
Easy to talk to.
Absolutely. I think there should be a part two.
I think there should be as well, man. I think we should.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you're easy to talk to.
I've got 100 things
great
to tell
stories.
You.
You've got great stories, man. Seriously, you really do. Tell everybody how they can find you on social media, man. Where can they find you at?
Well, of course, I'm Chef Timo on Instagram. And, you know, I'm a little bit of kind of a private guy, but you know what? I'm learning that doesn't work if I want to start breaking into television. So, yeah, I'm gonna start getting involved in Twitter and this and all that jazz. And but right now you can find me as Chef Timo at Instagram. You know, I'm cooking over at three restaurants, Beauty in Essex, Stanton Social, and Vandal. And, you know, and of course, you can always find me at a dive bar on the Lower East Side, too. And, you know, when it comes to being a chef, you know, there's usually three places you can find a chef. Now, he's either working his ass off in a hot-ass kitchen, or he's sitting in the bar drinking, or he's home in bed writing a recipe and drinking. Yeah, exactly. So it's
sleeping,
life of a
drinking,
chef.
And writing. Yeah, absolutely. Man.
Yeah.
No doubt. That's really funny. That's exactly where you can find him, Matt. So check it out, man. Hey, listen, as far as social media goes, you can be kind of private. I never post anything personal on social media. My kids, you'll never find my kids or any of that stuff. I don't post anything personal. So it can be done. It can be done.
Yeah, well,
sir.
I'm keeping it food, of course. I'm cooking it, keeping it chef oriented. I'm keeping it rock and roll, and all the restaurants and all the things that I'm involved with. So that's how I do it, and that's how I want it, and that's how I dig it. And it's a lot of fun, and I got a lot of followers and a lot of people who like and support me, and I love them for it, and getting bigger and better every day.
And just it's awesome, man. You're doing a great job with it. You're killing it, and I can't wait to. Come over there and eat something with you and hang out. I can't wait to judge on the competition with you. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Brother, so
you know what?
I'm going to give you.
You know what's great about.
Go ahead.
I made a new friend. I got somebody new in the brotherhood, and that's you, Chef Plum. the moment I met you, we shook hands, we talked. I just knew, wow, he's. Amazing. We can do things together and all that. So real glad to have you as a friend, and thanks for having me on the show, man. The best.
Oh, dude, it's awesome. I love talking to you. You're a great guy to talk to. I think I started talking about smoking water to cook your potatoes in. That's the shit I come up with.
You talked about smoking water, and I dug it. And then I think we talked about poaching things in the smoked water. Simmer potatoes and then make the mashed potato after it's been simmered in the smoked water. Wow.
Or you can fry them. Dude, so much you could do. Because that smoke now is on the inside. It's not on the outside,
You got ideas, man. We got to do it.
It's
really funny when you talk about smoking, you were talking about smoked pellets. I was talking about actual smoked chips and, how smoking really develops. And then, we all talked about the smoking liquid, which we don't really agree on. It just doesn't appear to be authentic. It's like anybody could add it. You got to have the artistic to smoke. And it's so funny. I remember seeing an old cat make barbecue sauce. And for his smoke element, want to know what he did?
That liquid smoke.
No. He took a cigar and dropped the ashes into the barbecue sauce. Yeah, to create a smoked element. Believe that?
Wow.
There's many ways to, I guess there's many ways to skin a cat and many ways to create smoke flavor. Yeah, that's what you think. Now, if you get it, you know,
off,
tobacco is edible. It's a food. It's an ingredient.
If you don't think on my next day off, I'm not going to find a cigar and try to make fucking barbecue sauce like that, you're nuts. I'm so going to give that a go. Holy shit, that sounds fucking brilliant.
So you're going to do that, and you're going to have that for me. I'm going to make a reservation for you at Beauty in Essex for you and your lovely wife. And then we're going to get together real soon and throw down, okay?
We are. I'm going to give you my speed round really quick to end this interview, man, because I really could talk to you for 2 more hours, but I got to get up in the morning to work. So
yeah.
The speed round really quick, man. It's my 3 questions I ask everybody. So
go.
In this world of food, man, what was the dish? What was the one thing you ate? And, you know, maybe it was when you were a kid. Maybe it was when you were in your 20s. When was the dish that you ate that made you think that food is a real thing? Holy shit. I don't just eat to sustain myself. I eat because this is unbelievable. It's an experience.
Funny. Cool. I can answer that right away. You know, it's the food that I ate as a child. It's the food that my mother and father created. And, you know, it might not have been the best or the best well-seasoned or anything, but I can remember eating some really tasty things. You know, my mom could make corned beef and cabbage. My mom could make these ribs with sauerkraut and mashed potatoes that were amazing.
Wow.
But you know where I'm going to go? But listen, this is where I'm going to go. You know, my father had he used to get up early in the morning and cook us brunch. And I'll never forget, he used to make us a dish called sheared eggs. And
okay.
If you've had it, it's baked eggs. And what he would do is he would line a bowl with ham, sliced ham, and cheese, and he would put a little bit of milk and heavy cream and then break a couple of eggs into that bowl.
Okay.
Add some more cheese, salt and pepper, maybe a little bit of nutmeg, and then bake it in the oven. And that was just a really, really great dish. And, you know, I can remember that dish as a kid and remember loving it. And what I did was I actually kind of reinvented it and put it on the menu over at Beauty. And what we do is we have a baked egg dish over at Beauty that's been inspired by what my father had did with these sheared eggs. And what I'm doing is I'm making grits made with epazote and of course cheese and all that. And what I do is I take a nice little skillet, and of course my father layered it with ham, so I went the prosciutto route. Remember, we're chefs and we're using really good quality meats and good quality ingredients. So one thing that I do remember my father doing, which is really important, is, you know, you don't spray that skillet with Pam or anything like that. You use butter.
Butter.
Okay?
Butter.
Because butter makes everything taste better. So I would, I'd wipe the skillet with butter. I'd add the ham. I'll add the epazote grits, lots of cheese, and then crack 2 peewee eggs over it, and then add hot cream. Toss that into the oven. More cheese on top. I think I'm going with a little touch of nutmeg on top as well. And then it's funny because the dish still exists, but I haven't made it over there. Of course, we have the line cooks making it. And it's still a killer dish, and it sells really well. We were just talking about it today, me and the chefs, how it's something that will probably never leave the menu. And then, of course, we serve it with 4 toast points because, you know, of course, the eggs are going to be nice and runny and delicious.
Yeah, you want to dip it.
You've got to break into them with those toast points, and you get the taste of the baked egg. Remember, it's not a fried egg. It's not a poached egg. It's a baked egg. And it bakes with the grits and the cheese and then the hams underneath. So you're getting – you're basically getting your typical bacon, egg, and cheese. Of course, you're getting the prosciutto. You're getting the cheese, the cheesy grits, and then you're getting the egg, and then a nice toast point, grilled toast,
and it
works. Yeah,
fucking unbelievable, dude.
So that's
Holy
my answer
cow.
To that. I know it was kind of a long answer, but and you know what? I didn't have that prepared. You know, I never knew what you were going to ask me. I'm pretty good. As our chefs would say in the kitchen, I'm pretty damn good on the fly. And I'm even better on the Superfly.
Dude, that's
when I really
answer.
Need something. If I say to somebody, I need that on the Superfly, that means I need
your
it
ass.
Now. Yeah.
Dude, that sounds unbelievable. And, you know, to
Question
me, ham
two,
is one
man.
Of those things. Dude, ham, I know, but you got me talking about ham now, and I'm a country boy
okay,
from Virginia.
Go. Let's go
ham. Ham is one of those things that is just so underrated. And I'll tell you what, man.
It's delish.
Yeah, I did a baked ham for a party recently. They wanted a ham, and I was like, okay. So I ended up smoking it in the smoker for a little bit, took it out, finish it in the oven, glaze that bitch up like my mom would when I was a kid. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I taste it and I was like, ham is an underrated like thing for a party. This is fucking delicious.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, sorry. So you got me in ham mode. you got the redneck coming out.
Scalloped potatoes.
Baked ham, scalloped potatoes.
That's all I need,
man. Baked ham, shredded into your scalloped potatoes and then baked.
Oh yeah.
Now we're talking.
All right, that's all you need.
Dude, I'm done after that. That's all I need. Cocktails. Dude, I love a good cocktail. I know you enjoy beer, cocktails. Same question with the food, but with cocktails, man. Have you had that yet? You know, for me, I love craft beer. I mean, it's one of my things. My wine class in culinary school changed my life. What's it for you?
All right, you know, I dig a good cocktail. It's got to be made right. I got to tell you, I'm more of a beer and a shot guy. It's not that, you know, 20 years ago I was really into tasting lots of beer, but now my stomach doesn't really tolerate as much as it used to. So I'm kind of a Budweiser, Wild Turkey on the Rocks kind of guy. But, you know,
damn,
we got some – here's the deal. You know, when I have a cocktail, it's usually at Beauty or Stanton. And you know, our bartenders are mixologists. They're not just guys slinging drinks, pouring shots, and, you know, tossing beers. They're really creating drinks. And I wish I remember their name. But there's – most recently there's, you know, there's – I think it's called an Old Dirty Bramble that we have over at Beauty that's really, really good. And, you know, that's the cocktail that I really like to drink. It really relaxes me. It's simple. It tastes good and it goes down easy. And then, over at Stanton, you know, there was a drink. I don't know if it's still on our list, but, you know, Guinness Stout was used in it. So, you know, it was a cocktail with a proof liquor, Guinness Stout and something else. And it was real kind of, chocolatey, not because chocolate was involved, just because they worked the booze and the Guinness so well together, and I really dug that drink. But you know, I don't really go for cocktails unless you know, I'm at a restaurant, and as often as that does happen, I'm also drinking the beer and the Wild Turkey. So you know, the cocktails that we serve at both the restaurants is what I really like, and anything with bourbon. You know, you can do a lot with bourbon, I like to have, bourbon and orange always seems to go well together. You know, you got to mix a drink and you
fantastic
get the orange
combo.
Peel, and and it just works. So that's my answer on cocktails. You know, I think
that's
my
good.
First answer when it came to food was a lot more interesting, but you know, that's what I got to say. That's what I got to say about the cocktail.
Budweiser and a shot of bourbon. You're a fucking cook, man. That's the answer.
Yeah.
That's
me. Well, it's quick, it's easy, you know. And you know what? I'm not always at the fanciest bars every night. It's usually something dive bar oriented. And so, you know, bourbon and the Wild Turkey and Budweiser is just, you know, what I drink. You know, Wild Turkey is something that my father always drank. So, you know, unfortunately, when I was a kid, I wasn't the most responsible kid, so I would always help myself to my father's Wild Turkey. So that's how it's kind of incorporated into my drink of choice, which is kind of funny.
There you go, man. I'm down with it. I'm the same. I'm a beer guy, man.
You know, since we're talking about dads and everything, you know, my dad, and you know, he was kind of responsible for the dish that I created over at Beauty, the baked eggs, because he made sheared eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
And we talked about Wild Turkey. If we all got to remember, next week is Father's Day, and if I really think a bottle of Rattler is the perfect
they would
Father's
love it.
Day gift. So once again, I'll plug that.
At santoscook.com. Get yourself a couple of bottles.
That's right.
Three bottles.
It's a Father's Day gift, man. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, man, listen, you've had a lot of success, man. You've done some amazing things. We talked about it in your story, man. You started off working at fast food. And you've gone as far. You got your own sauce now. You're working in three of the hottest restaurants in the city with a great celebrity chef.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been on TV a bunch, man. You've done pretty well.
And just to throw
it out there, you went on tour with fucking White Zombie. Just to throw it out there, and you made Thanksgiving dinner
Rob
for Kerry King.
Go ahead, yeah.
I'm sorry. But yeah, so you had all these awesome things happen, man. What's a good piece of advice you would give to a young culinarian, a young cook coming up, a young brother coming up, young sister coming up, getting into this business? What's a good piece of advice for him?
I got a good answer, man. You ready? Moderation is the key. Moderation is the key. Do not overdo it, man. Do not overdo it with absorbing as so much that you need to learn. You know what I'm saying? It comes in stages. You know, you don't just walk into a kitchen and know everything. You don't just walk into a kitchen and know how to season things or whatever. Remember, you know, all these great chefs and everything like that, they started from somewhere. They didn't just walk into the kitchen and know everything. They learned. It's experience. Moderation is the key. So that comes when you're learning. That also comes when you're partying, when you're having fun. You know, we're a real tough group of people, our chef guys. And you know, usually the end of the night ends up, you know, working 12 hours, and then you end up in a bar. Moderation is the key. Don't overdo it, man. Keep things in focus. Keep yourself in focus. Keep your education in focus. Keep your ideas in focus. Focus and moderation is the key.
And that's that for that, man. That's a nugget of brilliance there, man. No one said that one yet, and I think that is absolute brilliance. I got nothing to add to
moderation
that.
Moderation is key. Yeah.
You can follow my man, Chef Temo, at Instagram, Chef_Temo. Find him there. That's Chef_Temo on Instagram. He's going to have some other social media for us soon. And, of course, you can find him Beauty in Essex in the city. You can find him working at Vandal in the city. You can find him working at Stanton Social. The man is everywhere. He is doing his thing. As long as he's not on tour with these metal bands, that's what's up. And check it out. With Father's Day coming up, you really should check out santoscooks.com. Grab yourself some Rattler barbecue sauce. This is great stuff. There's a great deal going on there. Fantastic stuff, man. Tim, dude, brother, thank you so much for tonight.
What a pleasure, man.
Unbelievable conversation. I could talk to you for 2 hours, and I really appreciate it.
It was. All right, my brother. Thanks so much, man. Brothers forever from here on in, okay?
Absolutely, man. You need me,
cool.
I'm here. It's the phone call
Same
away.
Here,
but
brother.
I look forward to seeing to you next time, all right, my man?
You got it, brother. Love you.
Part two. See you, brother. Take care.
All right, brother.
There you go. That's my man, the unbelievable Chef Temo. Man, what a great conversation with him. That dude has got some stories, man. He is a great guy, a humble guy, a genuine guy. That's the guy you want in your kitchen. That's the guy you want in your kitchen. That's the best way to end it, man. He's the dude you want to have in your kitchen. Let's get into a couple plugs and end this program tonight. Check it out, everybody. You can follow me at Chef_Plum. That's at Chef_Plum on Twitter, on Instagram, and Facebook. Chef with two F's, Plum on Facebook. That's right. I'm still learning Facebook, but I'm doing some stuff on there. Check me out there. And, of course, if you haven't yet, go to ediblenutmeg.com. Check out Edible on the Road. We are shooting very, very soon out in Long Island. We have a lot of fun things coming up this summer, man. I cannot wait to tell you more about it. I'm hoping to be broadcasting live from New Orleans in August. It's going to be unbelievable, man. Humbled, as always, to have the opportunity. Thank you all for checking out this program. SantosCooks.com. Grab yourself some Rattler barbecue sauce. Great shit. And a big shout-out and thank you to my man, Chef Temo, for coming on. Brother, it's always a pleasure talking to you. You are the man, and I appreciate your time, as always. It's just cool, man. I love cool people. I love these people in this business, man. I love this business. So thank you guys for checking out the show. Ladies and gentlemen, in the meantime and in between time, please remember that food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time that it deserves. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, Kristen Hartley from the Huffington Post will be here. We'll see you then. Peace!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.